Growing for the future. In recent months, the NHS has experienced significant and high-profile public support. We must build on this urgently to recruit across our workforce, maximize participation and reverse the trend of early retirement. Building on momentum. There is much more to be done to address the gaps in our workforce across various roles, professional groups and geographies. But if we are to address the pressures of workload and deliver the care patients need, we need to focus now on what we can do to grow our workforce in the coming months. This is all the more critical as we face challenging times for international recruitment. Since COVID-19, there has been an unprecedented interest in careers in the NHS. Already, this interest has translated into higher numbers of applications to education and training. See renewed interest in NHS careers. We must seize the opportunity to recruit directly into entry-level clinical roles, apprenticeships and non-clinical roles, refreshing our talent pipelines. We have also seen an overwhelming response to the call to recently retired and former staff to join the COVID-19 response, see focus on recruitment. This suggests there is more we could do to encourage previous members of staff to rejoin the NHS. Renewed interest in NHS careers. Interest in careers within the NHS continues to soar, with unprecedented hits on the newly revamped Health Careers website. The overall number of page visitors looking for information on training to be a nurse rose by 138% between March and June, with a 103% increase in people seeking information on becoming a paramedic. There was a 152% increase in interest in diagnostic radiography and a 218% rise in interest on becoming a high-intensity therapist. This has already translated into healthy numbers of applications for a range of healthcare courses. We have seen more applications from UK-domiciled applicants than ever before, an increase in 18-year-old applicants in England, and the highest proportional growth in applicants from the most disadvantaged groups. In particular, nursing-related courses have seen a 17% rise in applicants and an increase in applicants from more mature age groups, reversing recent worrying trends, with a 32% increase in applicants for mental health nursing. NHS England and NHS Improvement and he continue to work with the government to achieve their commitments to expand the primary care workforce, including GPs and nurses. They will also work with government over the remainder of 2020-21 to determine the priorities for further investment in our workforce. Expanding and developing our workforce. He will make progress through 2020-21 in addressing the most pressing workforce shortages in those service areas with the highest demand and those professions that require urgent focus. Mental health. He is prioritizing continued investment in training the future mental health workforce to support significant expansion in psychological therapies for children and young people, and boosting the number of advanced clinical practitioners, psychiatrists and mental health nurses. In 2020-21, this will include enabling up to 300 peer support workers to join the mental health workforce and expanding education and training posts for the future workforce, including over 100 additional responsible clinicians, 50 community-based specialist mental health pharmacists, nearly 3,000 adult IAPT practitioners, 245 children and young people's psychological well-being practitioners and 300 children and young people's IAPT practitioners. He is also increasing the number of training places for clinical psychology and child and adolescent psychotherapy by 25%, total of 734 starting training in 2020-21. And investing in measures to expand psychiatry starting with an additional 17 core psychiatry training programs in hard-to-recruit areas in 2020-21 and the development of bespoke return-to-practice and preceptorship programs for mental health nursing. Cancer. In 2021, he is prioritizing the training of 400 clinical endoscopists and 450 reporting radiographers. Training grants are being offered for 350 nurses to become cancer nurse specialists and chemotherapy nurses, training 58 biomedical scientists, developing an advanced clinical practice qualification in oncology, and extending cancer support worker training. Advanced clinical practice. In 2020-21, he is funding a further 400 entrants to advanced clinical practice training, supported by the Center for Advancing Practice, to build on the success already seen of using advanced practitioners to greater effect in multidisciplinary teams, both in primary and secondary care. Expanding shortage specialties. In 2020-21, he is investing in an extra 250 Foundation Year 2 posts to enable the doctors filling them to grow the pipeline into psychiatry, general practice and other priority areas, notably cancer, with clinical radiology, oncology and histopathology. Increasing pre-registration places, he is working with universities to support an increase of over 5,000 undergraduate places from September 2020 in nursing, midwifery, allied health professions, and dental therapy and hygienist courses. He will also encourage expansion where there are postgraduate training opportunities to enter these professions. Developing clinical pharmacists to provide even more patient-centered care, a sustainable supply of prescribing pharmacists with enhanced clinical and consultation skills will be created. The key elements of the reform will be replacing the current pre-registration year with a foundation year, and enhancing clinical experience in initial education and training. This continuous educational program for pharmacists will still be 5 years in duration, and will link into advanced practice and research training. Working with stakeholders, and under the leadership of the General Pharmaceutical Council, the aim is to start this new approach from summer 2021, building on his interim foundation program that will commence in September 2020.
Focus on recruitment.
While retaining our current workforce remains a priority, the NHS must also renew efforts to rapidly recruit across all roles and professions. The significant surge in interest in careers in the NHS has been accompanied by wider changes to the labour market that have increased the pool of potential candidates. There is an urgent need to recruit new people to NHS Test and Trace, and to run an unprecedented winter flu vaccination campaign, as well as potentially a COVID-19 vaccination campaign. Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust, LTHD, has developed a career pathway for nursing staff which has helped the Trust to significantly exceed the public sector apprenticeship target and provide employment to the local community. "We need to make the most of the current high profile of the NHS to recruit at pace and scale, focusing on domestic recruitment, international recruitment and encouraging staff to return to practice."
Local recruitment.
Increasing local recruitment, employers must increase their recruitment to roles such as clinical support workers and, in doing so, highlight the importance of these roles for patients and other healthcare workers, as well as potential career pathways to other, registered, roles.
Growing apprenticeships. Employers should offer more apprenticeships, ranging from entry-level jobs through to senior clinical, scientific, and managerial roles.
This is a key route into a variety of careers in the NHS, giving individuals the opportunity to earn and gain work experience while achieving nationally recognized qualifications. Expanding the primary care workforce. Primary care networks, supported by systems and CCGs, should take immediate action to recruit additional roles funded by the Additional Roles Reimbursement Scheme, which will fund 26,000 additional staff until 2023-24.
International recruitment.
Building local hubs. Health systems have a key role in helping to resume international recruitment by supporting local international recruitment hubs. As part of NHS England and NHS Improvement's International Recruitment Nursing Programme, we will incentivise trusts to develop lead recruiter and system-level models of international recruitment, which will improve support to new starters as well as being more efficient and better value for money. Increasing international recruitment. NHS England and NHS Improvement and he are working with government to increase our ethical international recruitment and build partnerships with new countries, making sure the supplying country is positively impacted, as well as the individual health worker and the NHS.
This will include work to remove barriers to recruitment and increasing capacity for induction and support.
English language training. Recognising the high standards required by UK regulators, he will pilot English language programmes, including computer-based tests, across different regions, as well as offering English language training during 2020-21. Coordinated international marketing. NHS England and NHS Improvement will work with government to establish a new international marketing campaign through 2020-21. To promote the NHS as an employer of choice for international health workers.
Health and care visa. In July 2020, the government announced the introduction of a new health and care visa, which will launch in August 2020.
This visa will make it quicker, cheaper and easier for registered health staff to come from overseas to work in the NHS, the social care sector, or for an organisation providing NHS commission services. Those applying will be exempt from the immigration health surcharge, benefit from 50% visa fee reductions, and can expect a decision within 3 weeks of their application, following biometric enrolment. Anyone else working in health or social care, who has paid the immigration health surcharge on or after the 31st of March 2020, will be able to claim reimbursements for time they have worked in the sector, from October 2020.
Return to practice.
Encouraging former staff to return to the NHS employers and systems, in partnership with social care, should encourage our former staff members to return to practice as a key part of a recruitment drive during 2020-21, building on the interest of some of the clinical staff who returned to the NHS in the early COVID-19 response, and have now expressed an interest in staying on in the health and care system. See encouraging return to clinical practice. NHS England and NHS Improvement, and he will continue to work with professional regulators to support staff who return to the service under a temporary professional register to return to the permanent register if they wish to continue working in the NHS.
This will include providing help to staff to meet registration requirements and ensure they feel confident when returning to practice, as well as finding placements for them with employers.
We will continue to work in partnership with social care to ensure that the thousands of nurses and other healthcare staff who temporarily returned to employment during COVID are aware of opportunities to support the sector. Supporting return to practice, he is exploring the development of a return to practice scheme for other doctors in the remainder of 2020-21, creating a route from temporary professional registration back to full registration. This would build on existing return to practice schemes for nurses, allied health professionals, GPs and pharmacists. Milton Keynes University Hospital NHS Trust's unique staff benefits program for its 4,500-strong workforce has seen staff retention rates improve, with the staff turnover rate now under 10%. Encouraging return to clinical practice in March 2020, the professional regulators for nurses, doctors and allied health professionals, pharmacists and pharmacy technicians wrote to nearly 70,000 staff who had retired within the past 3 years. Later, they wrote also to those who had been out of practice for longer and to those whose licenses were no longer current.
There was an overwhelming response. At the time of publishing, 15,245 had completed pre-employment checks.
8,755 had been deployed to acute services for employment. 2,140 had been employed across NHS 111, NHS Test and Trace, acute trusts and social care. The NHS was able to manage demand during the COVID-19 peak, so not as many of this group were needed as anticipated. But we cannot turn our back on this critical opportunity to boost our workforce with many experienced former clinicians. A recent survey of returners revealed that around 50% were interested in continuing to work in the health and social care system in the medium to long term in some capacity. Almost half of this group, -49%, are aged below 60.
Retaining our people.
The NHS needs to be bold and commit to offering more flexible, varied roles and opportunities for remote working. It is not always immediately easy to accommodate individual work preferences. But if we do not take radical action to become a flexible and modern employer in line with other sectors, we will continue to lose people entirely or see participation rates decline. Staff should be able to expect employers to focus on varied roles. Employers should design roles which make the greatest use of each person's skills and experiences, and fit with their needs and preferences. The NHS offers many varied opportunities with non-patient-facing roles, including in NHS 111, clinical coaching and mentoring, teaching, research and much more. Systems and employers must make greater efforts to design and offer more varied roles to retain our people. Retaining people approaching retirement, employers must do more to retain staff aged 55 years and over, who comprise over 19% of our workforce. Employers should ensure that staff who are mid-career, aged around 40 years, and those approaching retirement, aged 55 years and over, have a career conversation with their line manager, HR and occupational health. This should be to discuss any adjustments needed to their role and their future career intentions.
It should also include signposting to financial advice, in particular on pensions.
Employers must make their people aware of the increase in the annual allowance pensions tax threshold, made in March 2020, which means that clinicians can earn an additional £90,000 before reaching the new taper threshold. This was designed to address the issue that some people in the NHS felt disincentivized from taking on additional work and leadership opportunities. Facilitating opportunities to retire and return, employers must make sure future potential returners, or those who plan to retire and return this financial year, are aware of the ongoing pension flexibilities. Under the current emergency rules, retired nurses and doctors are allowed to return to the NHS without impacting on their pension, and abatement for special class nurses between 55 and 60 years of age is suspended. This means they can do as much work as they like even after they have taken up their pension.
The requirement that people work no more than 2 days a week for a month after taking their pension has also been suspended.
Retaining people in primary care, systems should ensure that they are supporting their GP workforce through full use of the GP retention initiatives outlined in the GP contract, which will be launched in summer 2020. Support for retention, NHS England and NHS Improvements People Plan Delivery Programme, launching in summer 2020, will help NHS employers to value and retain their people by making their organisations a better place to work and being a modern and model employer. This will comprise a new online portal of resources, masterclasses and support for systems and organisations. Alignment and collaboration across health and care systems.
Our systems will be the key units in planning for recovery.
They should support local health and care employers, as well as wider partners, with a concerted focus on people and workforce issues. This begins with greater alignment across workforce, operational and financial planning, with a bigger role for systems in understanding the numbers and skills of their workforce, and deploying them effectively to meet service requirements and local health needs. Systems will have a central role in helping design new models of care and major service changes, to deliver better population health outcomes. They will need to work with regional teams to understand the workforce requirements, any gap between demand and supply, and what needs to be done to address this. Systems will also need to support the focus on retaining our people, including returners, as well as driving rapid, large-scale recruitment into a range of entry-level roles across the NHS. It will be critical to ensure a collaborative approach to recruitment, supporting primary and community care, as well as social care, to secure the skills and people they need. The NHS has worked in partnership with social care during the pandemic so far, to provide support and to share workforce where possible. This was underpinned by the government's Care Homes Support Plan, as well as joint work at national and local level to support staff to return to the health and care sector, although only a small number were deployed into care homes. In order to ensure that social care has the support it needs in preparation for winter and future outbreaks, the NHS and social care should continue to work in close partnership at every level. In particular, all systems should review their local workforce position with providers and implement arrangements for their areas to increase resilience and capability. In a wider context, the NHS can play a significant role in local economic recovery and improving social and economic outcomes, including reducing inequalities. Health and care systems, in particular, can build on the role of NHS organisations and large social care employers as anchor institutions, to bring those furthest from employment into meaningful work and to target recruitment, volunteering and apprenticeship opportunities in areas of greater deprivation, for example.
Workforce planning and transformation.
Systems planning. Systems must strengthen their approach to workforce planning to use the skills of our people and teams more effectively and efficiently. This includes playing a greater role in planning, fully integrating this with service and clinical strategies and financial plans, and reviewing these plans in year in response to changes to demand or services.
In developing their plans, systems may find it helpful to consider key workforce planning questions.
Support for planning. Systems should work with HE and NHS England and NHS Improvement regional teams to further develop competency-based workforce modelling and planning for the remainder of 2020-21, including assessing any existing skill gap and agreeing system-wide actions to address it. During 2020-21, he will develop an online package to train systems in using the HeStar model for workforce transformation. This training will equip workforce leads with the capability to lead complex workforce conversations across care pathways, provider organizations, and systems. Data collection. In 2020-21, NHS England and NHS Improvement and he will begin urgent work to improve workforce data collection at employer, system, and national level. Transformation tools. In 2020-21, NHS England and NHS Improvement and he will refresh tools to support workforce planning and transformation and establish communities of practice for workforce analytics and modelling, workforce design and workforce planning. Recruiting and deploying staff across organisations and geographies. Recruitment, systems should make better use of routes into NHS careers, including volunteering, apprenticeships and direct entry clinical roles, as well as supporting recruitment into non-clinical roles. Systems should also make much greater use of secondments and rotational roles across primary and secondary care to improve integration and retention. Recruiting across communities, systems should actively work alongside schools, colleges, universities and local communities to attract a more diverse range of people into health and care careers. Staff banks, when recruiting temporary staff, systems, trusts and primary care networks should prioritize the use of bank staff before more expensive agency and locum options, and reduce the use of off-framework agency shifts during 2020-21. Through its bank program, NHS England and NHS Improvement will work with employers and systems to establish and grow collaborative staff banks.
During 2020-21, this program will work in partnership with systems to improve existing staff banks' performance on fill rates and staff experience, aiming by the 31st of March 2021 to increase the number of staff registered with banks.
Movement across organizations, systems should develop workforce sharing agreements locally, to enable rapid deployment of our people across localities where appropriate or where possible. NHS England and NHS Improvement has developed guidelines to make it easier, enabling the sharing of information such as HR records and statutory and mandatory training. Digital Staff Passport. Systems are supporting the trial of the COVID-19 Digital Staff Passport during winter 2020, which simplifies the high volume of temporary staff movement between NHS organisations, saves time by providing a verified record of identity and employment, and allows colleagues to carry their credentials and professional registration on their smartphone.